A state Senate panel has advanced a bill giving Alaska's public employees a choice of retirement systems. Senate Bill 121 lets state and municipal workers choose either a benefited plan, also known as a traditional pension, or a defined contribution plan like a 401k retirement savings account. During the Murkowski administration, the legislature did away with the state's defined benefit program for all new hires since July 2006. The Parnell administration opposes the current bill. Casey Kelly has the story.
Senate Bill 121's primary sponsor, Juno Democrat Dennis Egan, says public employees deserve a choice of retirement plans.
Personal accounts are great for recruiting researchers, military spouses, or corporate retirees to state and local government. And pensions are great for keeping those who spend their lives teaching our children, patrolling our prisons, and managing our fisheries.
The Alaska Public Employees Retirement System currently has an unfunded liability estimated at $11 billion due to several factors, including the stock market crash, rising health care costs, retirees' longer lifespans, and accounting mistakes made by the state's actuaries. Egan says his goal is to make sure the legislation does not increase state spending or the unfunded liability. He believes that was accomplished last week with an amendment making employees who choose a defined benefit share the risk of increased health care costs in the future.
It shares the risk between employees and employers, and it adds nothing, not one red cent, to the unfunded liabilities from the past.
In fact, an actuary's analysis shows Senate Bill 121 would save the state $49 million in the first 5 years. But Deputy Administration Commissioner Mike Barnhill testified to the Senate State Affairs Committee Thursday that there's no way to guarantee cost savings with a defined benefit system over time.
Put a 20-year-old in 2013, they will retire in the 2050s, 2060s. Over that time period, we can have investment loss. Over that time period, we can have health care cost growth that is out of line with our projections. Over that time, we can have mistakes, other things. People could end up living longer. It's for these reasons that the administration strongly opposes enactment of this bill.
State Affairs Committee Chairman Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat, accused the administration of purposely trying to inflate the bill's costs over the long term and of dragging its feet on the new cost estimate or fiscal note accounting for last week's health care amendment. Barnhill said the state's actuary only had a week to review the new version of the bill, leading to this testy exchange.
I would further submit, Mr. Chair, that the people of Alaska, who are going to bear the brunt of the promises that this bill makes, that successive generations of Alaskans, our children and grandchildren, are entitled to full actuarial vetting.
Thank you, Mr. Barnhill. You've had 1 year to have this fully actuarial vetted. And we get fiscal notes turned around in days in this building. We get fiscal notes on oil tax bills that are billions and billions of dollars projected over decades, turned around in days. You have an outside company at your disposal whose expertise is in this area.
Anchorage Republican Kevin Meyer voted to advance the bill, but said he hoped it would get a thorough vetting in the Finance Committee, where it goes next.
I truly think letting the employees have a choice between a defined benefit and a defined contribution is the best policy, and it's the best way to attract employees, best way to retain our employees. Now, whether or not we can afford that, I think that's a question for the Finance Committee.
Anchorage Republican Kathy Giesel also voted to advance the bill. Besides Egan, SB 121 has 9 co-sponsors, including Republicans Linda Menard and Liesl McGuire. Alaska is the only state in the union that offers only a defined contribution plan to public employees. Most states have a hybrid system similar to the one offered in Egan's bill. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
Membership rolls at some Pacific Northwest tribes are swelling much faster than the general population. Some of that increase is due to high birth rate amongst American Alaska Natives. Also rising from prosperity from casinos and other businesses is luring Native Americans back into the fold. But fast growth has strained the fabric of some tribes, while others wish they had more members. Northwest News Network correspondent Tom Bancy reports.
This story starts with a demographic puzzle. Take the rate of natural increase of the population. It's about 1% per year. That's births minus deaths. Then compare that to the growth rates of Northwest tribes over the past decade. Depending on the tribe, it can be twice or three times as high. So what's going on here? Enrolling in a tribe is not like immigrating to another country. It's also not like joining the Elks Club. Tribal citizenship is based on bloodlines. The swelling membership of the Tulalip tribes, based near Everett, Washington, is a point of pride for tribal member and state representative John McCoy. He says improved health care and an above-average birth rate are at play.
We're living longer. Our babies are surviving birth.
McCoy says another reason for growth, more jobs on reservations led by tribal gaming.
So we have our peoples coming back from other states. Okay, they're coming home because there is an economy.
These new tribal members were already eligible, but for whatever reason, they didn't enroll before. At Tulalip, it adds up to a 22% growth rate over the past decade. Some other tribes are much higher, and some of those have felt the need to tighten enrollment criteria to control burgeoning growth. The biggest motive appears to be financial. For example, Western Washington's Puyallup tribe currently pays each enrolled man, woman, and child $2,000 per month in profit sharing. Members of the Puyallup tribe voted to clamp down on new enrollments in 2005. Like the Puyallups, the Grand Ronde tribe in Western Oregon operates a successful casino. Grand Ronde tribal members have revisited their enrollment standards three times since 1999. The most recent election was a couple months ago. Tribal members voted to keep strict enrollment standards in place. Before the vote, tribal member D. Edwards posted a tearful YouTube video about how technicalities in the rules split her family and cut out her grandchildren.
And Kai is the one that came to me and asked why they wouldn't let her be an Indian when we were at the last meeting. And, you know, I tell her she is an Indian. I tell her it doesn't matter, but we all know it really does.
Former tribal council member Andy Jenness of Eugene taped that video. He favors a looser standard that wouldn't split families.
The amount of growth that was acceptable to me is that of natural birth and you know, the tribe growing at the natural rate, whatever that is. And if that means that I have less in my per capita check, so be it.
But other members wrote letters and posted online to warn about opening the floodgates of tribal membership. Over the years, people have complained about tribal jumpers. Those are parents or children whose heritage includes connections to multiple tribes. Jumping refers to relinquishing citizenship in one tribe to switch to a richer one. If too many people do that, though, it can dilute the profit-sharing checks or strain services at the tribe everyone wants to get into. The late 1990s, early 2000s saw the peak of transfers to wealthier tribes, that according to people in tribes which lost members, such as the Skokomish or Nez Perce. There are other tribes where growth has petered out. For example, the Colville Confederated Tribes in northeast Washington. There the issue is that enrollment is flatlining, according to tribal council member Ricky Gabriel. He's proposing a referendum to relax the blood requirement in the tribal constitution so more children of mixed marriages can enroll.
I've had a lot of very positive. The elders are extremely happy about this because they're pushing so hard. They're seeing their grandchildren not be able to be enrolled.
Enrollment in the tribe currently requires a minimum of one-quarter Colville blood. But when you have intermarriage, it dilutes the Colville blood. It takes just a couple of generations for that to become a problem. The proposed referendum would change the rules to count any Indian blood toward the minimum. Across the Cascade Range, enrollment standards have become the source of bitter disagreement at the Snoqualmie tribe. Citizenship there requires a minimum of 1/8 Snoqualmie blood. In 2008, right before its casino opened, the tribal government reviewed its rolls and kicked out dozens of its citizens.
And the people who got disenrollments sent me their letters. They're all certified,
including
letters.
Carolyn Lubinow.
You just go to the mailbox one day, and here's a letter. We have considered requests by members under 1/8 Snoqualmie blood for meetings with.
At her dining room table in Maple Valley, Washington, Lubinow rereads her banishment letter. She says her blood is more than 1/8 Snoqualmie, and she says the decision to kick her out was incorrect and unjust. and adds her ancestors would have been appalled by the whole thing.
You know, my grandmother and great-grandmother, they didn't even probably know fractions. They had no idea what a fraction was. Everybody was equal. Everybody helped each other. Mm-hmm. Everybody was treated the same.
Lubinow supports changing the enrollment standard to lineal descent and getting rid of blood quantums altogether. The Tulalips and Puyallups are examples of other tribes that have already done that. I'm Tom Bonsi reporting.
An Anchorage man is a new vice chairman for the University of Alaska Board of Regents. The board this week elected Carl Mars to replace Bob Martin of Juneau. Martin resigned, citing health reasons. Governor Sean Parnell will appoint a new regent to complete Martin's term. A release from the university says Martin was in the last of his 8-year term. That's all for Raven News for this hour. Taking a look at the weather forecast for this morning, mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers possible, tapering off towards the afternoon. Temperatures in the middle to lower 40s, winds out of the southeast 10 miles per hour in the morning, becoming light and variable. For tonight, mostly cloudy with isolated rain showers mixing with snow later on. Temperatures in the middle to lower 30s, winds out of the northwest 10 miles per hour. It's 35 degrees in downtown Sitka with winds out of the east 3 miles per hour.